questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Hello and welcome to another session of Q&A on Islamic Belief. This is IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host. We're going to discuss the animal rights. This is the following session of the two previous sessions. In this session, we're going to discuss about the right of living of the animals. Hello, Dr. Karimi.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. Okay, can you tell us about the rivayats that are of concerning the right of living for the animals?
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I mentioned in the previous session, some narrations prevent people from killing any kind of animal, for no reason, of course. And in some narrations, some names of some animals are mentioned, or some birds. And I would like to share a few of them. For example, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, "Man qatala 'usfuran bighayri haqq," whoever kills a sparrow for no reason, God will question him on the Day of Judgment. Again, we are talking about killing the animals just for fun.
And with no reason.
With no reason. It's absolutely forbidden. In a very somehow powerful narration, which has a very, maybe a threatening tone, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying that, "On the night of Mi'raj or Ascension, I passed by the hellfire. I saw a woman. She was tortured, punished, and I asked for the reason. And I was told that innaha rabatat hirra, she imprisoned a cat and didn't give it any kind of food or water, and did not leave it just to go looking for food and water. And finally, the cat died out of this kind of torture. This is the reason that she is punished right now by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Again, another narration referring to the fact that all the animals, according to the religion of Islam, have the right of life. Another interesting narration, the Holy Prophet says that if you kill an sparrow, the same animal on the Day of Judgment will come and addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "Ya Rab, O Lord, this person killed me habathan, without any reason."
Yeah.
That means that if it was justified, then I would not complain. And yantafu bi, he did not take benefit from killing me, and did not leave me to look for food. So this is again another narration referring to the fact that all the animals have this right for sure. So this is one point regarding the rights of the animal. The other point is that we know that for ablution we need some water. Now, and if we have no water, we need to perform tayammum. Now, the question is that imagine we have only a glass of water. There is an animal which is thirsty and it is in need of that water, and we need to also perform wudu or ablution for prayer. Then, according to the explicit verdict of Shia scholars, in that case, you need to perform tayammum and give that water
to that animal.
Exactly. And this is one of the cases in which tayammum is permitted, or rather a kind of obligation. For example, Shahid Thani, the famous great Shia scholar, says that one of the cases in which you're allowed to perform tayammum is that there is a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is thirsty, whether it is a human being or an animal. It doesn't make any difference.
Yes.
Now, having talked about some of these rights for animal, in the previous session I referred to some of the points when it comes to the slaughtering the animals. Although Islam permits and allows slaughtering for a couple of the animals, but Islam has many detailed instructions in this regard. For example, I refer to the fact that it is highly discouraged for people to slaughter animals at night.
So it's a process that has rules and does not happen haphazardly.
Exactly. There are etiquette for that. Let me just share one narration in this regard. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that you have no right, of course it's makruh, to kill and slaughter the animals till early morning, because night is for resting,
yes,
even for animals. Also, I mentioned that it is very discouraged for you to slaughter an animal in front of other animals. Imam Hadi alayhi salam says that لا تذبح الشاة عند الشاة. You shouldn't slaughter a sheep in front of another sheep. ولا الجذور عند الجذور. Nor a camel in front of another camel. And interestingly, some Shia scholars, because of these narrations, they believe that it is forbidden. It's not only makruh, it's
yes.
not only discouraged. It is forbidden to do that. For example, Sheikh At-Tusi is said to believe in this verdict, and this is his fatwa. The next point regarding slaughtering the animals is that, according to Islamic and Shia jurisprudence, again, it is not recommended for you to peel. That means to remove the skin of the animal right after slaughtering that.
Yes.
Because it is believed that it is a kind of torture for the animal. Again, we have so many scholars, they have mentioned that. According to some of them, it is highly discouraged. And according to some, it is even forbidden. For example, Fadl Hendi, a great Shia scholar, says that it seems to me that peeling the animals, removing the skin right after the slaughtering, it is absolutely forbidden. لَأَنَّهُ إِلَامٌ لِلْحَيْوَانِ بِلَا فَائِدَةٍ. Because you are torturing the animal and there is no benefit in that. وَقَدْ نُهِيَ عَنْ تَعْذِيبِ الْحَيْوَانِ. The Imams of the Ahl Bayt have prevented us from torturing the animals. So
they are not caring about the smallest details.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Interestingly, we have a narration from Imam al-Rida alayhi salam. Some scholars, they have resorted to this narration, and they have come to this conclusion that if you begin peeling and removing the skin of the animal just after slaughtering that, it means that that meat cannot be eaten anymore. It's forbidden for you to eat the animal. It's been mentioned, for example, the narration has been mentioned by Sheikh Hur Amili in Wasail al-Shia, volume 16, page 314. The next point, at the time of the slaughtering the animals, we should find the easiest way for that animal. One of them is that, I think I mentioned in the first session, that the knife should be very sharp so that it just finish the job in a very...
Few seconds,
yeah, exactly. There are narrations in this regard. For example, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن تَذْبَحَ الذَّبِيعَ فَلَا تُعَذِّبِ Bahima ahed al-shafra. When you're about to slaughter an animal, do not torture him or torture it. Sharpen the knife.
Use a sharp knife to end the process quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. And the Holy Prophet says that he also commanded the people to sharpen the knife. And he says that إِذَا ذَبْحَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُجَهِزْ. If you are going to slaughter an animal, provide all the means that you need, then go to that process of slaughtering.
Yes.
And one of them is to have a very sharp knife. Another interesting point is that we know that, when you I mean, some people's job is just animals' husbandry and they raise the animals.
Yes.
According to the religion of Islam, when this is your job, you have raised a kind of animal, then there is a kind of, I mean, emotional feeling between you and that animal.
Yeah.
So Islam discourages the same people
to slaughter that animal.
If you are going to do that, let another person to do that. I mean, the animal does not expect you as the one who has raised it for a couple of years or even a couple of months to slaughter it. So to this extent, Islam has paid attention to the feelings of the
animals.
So for example, just let me just share one narration in this regard. Imam Rida alayhi salam is quoted, one of the companions of Imam Rida alayhi salam told him that, "I raised a sheep, then when I was about to slaughter it, it looked at me, and I also felt
pain.
Yeah, so I didn't kill it." And then Imam approves his action and says that when you are raising an animal, then you have no right, meaning it's highly discouraged to slaughter the same animal. And according to many Shia scholars, it is very... makruh, discouraged for the people who raise the animals to themselves slaughter the animals. Some narrations tell that if you need meat, so go just to bazaar and
buy it,
yeah. And do not kill, slaughter the animals that you have raised. There are also many narrations about hunting the animals.
Yes.
For example, again, we are told that it's highly discouraged to hunt the animals at night. This is very interesting because many people just do that because maybe it is easier for
a couple. Yes, and they do it for fun.
For fun,
sometimes.
Yeah. But even if it is not for fun, if it is for a good reason, it is discouraged to be done at night again.
Yes.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made
night is the time of rest.
Of rest, even for the animals. We have some narrations about the tools for hunting, like killing, slaughtering the animals. According to some scholars, it is absolutely forbidden to just hunt baby animals.
Yes.
And, especially in their nests or, the mountains, in the hills, it doesn't make any difference as long as they are not able to fly. According to some scholars, it is absolutely forbidden to hunt them. And according
now,
to some...
Now, I have a question.
Yes, please.
Now I'm justified that sacrificing those animals is not an immoral job. And it has got rules and it is logical because we need them, because we thrive on them. How is it to be considered a prayer? How is it what we do... how is it going to be considered a blessing for us? How is it going to satisfy God?
As I mentioned, when an action like slaughtering an animal, it has its wisdom. So it means that to begin with, right now we are justified that we are allowed to slaughter the animals. Why is it an act of worship? I mentioned before, maybe in the first session, because of the fact that Allah says, "Eat and feed the people." So even in slaughtering the animals, God pays attention to two points. It is a form of thanksgiving to God. This is one point. And the second point is that you are also paying attention to the needs of the people. And in that verse, very explicitly, Allah says that وَأَطْعِمُ الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرَ. It is an act of worship because not only, you may eat from that yourself, but
you share it
with others, and you pay attention to the rights of the poor classes of the society. So, almsgiving is an act of worship in any form. Slaughtering an animal and distributing the meat among the very people,
the poor
classes of the people, it is also a kind of almsgiving. So from that perspective, it can be an act of worship as well.
Yes, thank you. So you were listening to Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Thank you for following us.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa حسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن